In Matthew chapter 26 this morning, if you have your Bibles, we'll be continuing in our series on a season in Peter's life, or a season in the life of Peter. I think it was something like that. Might have the wrong title here, but Matthew chapter 26, we'll be in verses 50 through 54. Matthew 26, verses 50 through 54 is where we're going to spend the bulk of our time this morning. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? Lord, as we come before you, thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and privilege that we have to open from it, to open it, to read from it, to teach from it, to expound upon it, to preach from it. And I just thank you, Lord, for it. I ask you, Lord, to send your Holy Spirit in a mighty way and do a work in our hearts. I ask you to give me the words you'd have me to say as we look to once again learn from this season in Peter's life. And we often can relate to Peter in many ways, and we'll be able to relate once again, I believe, to Peter this morning in this story right here. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we continue in our series on Peter, we find ourselves at Peter's third mistake. We looked at his first mistake, which was pride. In his mind, though he had good intentions, he wasn't going to fall. It would be anyone else in the world that would fall but him. We looked at his second mistake, which was allowing his flesh to get the better of him. Even though I believe he wanted to stay awake and watch with Christ, his flesh was weak. It was his flesh that got the better of him. Hence the lesson from Christ, not only to him, but the other disciples, on the willingness of the spirit, but the weakness of the flesh. The disciples made decisions based off physical convenience rather than what was spiritually right, obedient, and best for them. Sure, they were tired, but it was time to do something for God, and the Son of God had called them to watch with him, to pray with him. And we're now looking at Peter's third mistake, which was fighting spiritual battles in the flesh. Peter has been good intentions up until this point, I do believe. He wanted to follow Christ until the end, but his pride would interfere. He wanted to stay awake with Christ as his spirit was willing, but his flesh was weak. And here I believe that it was also good intentions. It was out of his love for Jesus that Peter stepped up to defend Christ here in this passage. However, Peter is still ultimately falling victim, still yet, to pride and the flesh here in this passage. When Peter drew a fleshly weapon in spiritual warfare and cut off the ear of a servant of the high priest, this is what Jesus had to say in Matthew 26 and verse 52. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Notice that phrase there where Jesus says, Put up again thy sword into his place. It makes me wonder if Peter had already had that sword out maybe at another time. It does imply that this was perhaps not his first time that his sword was drawn. And maybe it wasn't the first time Jesus told him to put it away. It would seem that Peter was set on defending the Lord his way. Now, did the Lord need Peter's help? No. Matthew 26, verse 53, Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Jesus is essentially telling Peter, I did not need you to to do that. I did not ask you to do that. I did not want you to do that. And then Jesus asked a rhetorical question here. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? And I remind you, when God asks a question, it is not for his benefit. The question was intended for Peter to think. Peter, even though in goodwill, even though with good intentions, he overstepped his boundaries and left Peter's business and got into God's business. But Jesus did not need Peter to fight this battle. Why? Because Jesus was going to be led as a lamb away to slaughter. He was going to allow it all. Jesus, you know, was getting ready to allow some things and take some things upon himself. He was getting ready to bear some abuse from the world for the furtherance of the gospel. And Christ being our example, we need to not be so ready to fight all the time and fight back, but suffer some in the same with a focus on people getting saved. You know, sometimes we're all about fight. Sometimes we can be like Peter. Sometimes we're all about fight. But you know what? Sometimes that the Lord has specifically laid it out and has a plan in place for us to suffer for his cause so that he can be glorified in the situation. See, Peter was trying to interfere with what God had preordained before the foundations of the world. But sometimes that's what we do in our flesh. We interfere with the big picture. In Luke 22, verses 49 through 50, when they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? In essence, they're asking, do we fight? Then what happens? We see Peter here. He's acting like us and us like him. I'm ready, Lord, send me in. I'll jump in here. I'll take care of this for you. Peter's talking to the Lord Jesus here. But pay attention because the Lord has not answered him. Then here we are in verse 50 of Luke 22. We're in Luke 22, not Matthew 26, of Luke 22. And what Peter's doing, he's acting without his answer from the Lord. He's acting without permission. I try to teach our boys this sometimes. Me and their mom will be distracted about something. And we're paying attention to something. They'll ask us a question if they can do something. And then after a couple of minutes, if we've not answered them, they've walked off. Now, I heard them. I heard what they said. I just wasn't ready to answer just yet. I was in the middle of something. And sometimes, because they didn't get an answer, they'll go do what they wanted to do to begin with because they didn't get an answer just yet. Instead of waiting, they say, okay, well, I didn't get an answer, so I'm just going to gravitate to what I want to do since I didn't get an answer. And it seems like that's kind of where Peter was here. Said, Lord, I'm ready to fight. You want me to fight? I'll fight him. I'll fight all of them. I'll fight him. Didn't get his answer. So what's Peter do? In essence, Lord, you ain't answered me yet. So instead of waiting, I'm just going to do it anyway. And this is us oftentimes. And I hope you realize that oftentimes we're right in asking, but wrong in moving without an answer. And I cannot tell you the times in my own life when I was right in asking, but wrong in being impatient and wrong in moving without an answer from the Lord. And when it's happened, it has never been in my favor. And I've seen it through church members and I've seen it in ministry leaders. They get out ahead of their answer for God and it never works out in their favor. Ask and then wait on an answer. In Luke 22 and verse 50, and one of them, we know that to be Peter, smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. So jumping all up in the Lord's business without permission. By the way, sometimes this gets you in trouble. One of the best lessons to learn early on is mind your own business. That's one of the best lessons to learn early on, not to go interfering all the time and what else is going on. I know a couple of people personally who died through interfering with someone else's fight. They got killed trying to break up another fight and things. It is dangerous business to enter yourself into other people's conflicts and what is going on. And we see right here that it did not work out well for Peter when Peter left Peter's business and got into the Lord's business. You know, we need to recognize that God is in control at all times, but he will use you and I at times and not use you and I at times. And at this point in time in the life of Peter, Peter was not only not needed, but Peter got in the way. And when he did, Peter made a mess not only of himself, but someone else. How many times in our effort to stand for right, we injure someone else? We do it all the time. Now, by the way, when we go to stand for truth, the goal is not to injure. The goal is not to hurt. The idea is to stand for truth. See, Peter, in his attempt to stand for truth, hurt somebody else. He injured them. Now, what happens oftentimes, even in our own lives too, in our attempt to stand up for Christ, in our attempt to stand up for the word or to stand up for the faith or what we believe in that we came about of believing from the word, we end up hurting other people. And then the Lord has to come back through and bandage up the wounds that we've done to other people through our attempt to stand for truth. It shouldn't be that way. But Peter did it. And we do it too. In Luke 22 and verse 51, and Jesus answered and said, "Suffer ye thus far." And he touched his ear and healed him. So Jesus had to fix what Peter messed up. When Peter should have minded his own business and trusted in the Lord. But again, we can learn something from this because we do it. And I praise God for showing us this portrait here in the life of Peter where he lacked meekness. And he took on a fight that was not his. Was it a good fight? Now, I dare say we ought to testify this morning that our Savior is worth fighting for. But you know what? There'll be times that he will fight his own battles without us. And there'll also be times that he isn't going to fight it just yet. And we have to surrender the fight within us to the glory of God and the center of his will. Sometimes we just see a fight and we just go jump in. It's like, okay, there's, I don't even know what to say on it, but we do. We do. We could be out in town and it's somebody, and I've been around people like this. And so somebody does something, you don't even know them, and then jump on them all because they said something that wasn't right. Got to be careful with that stuff. So sometimes it's not that the fight within us is wrong. Sometimes it's how we go about it. And Peter, like I said before, he was a leader. He was a leader amongst the disciples. He needed to have some fight, but he needed the Lord to do a work in him on how to channel that fight into the right ways. And I used this illustration last week. The Lord had to do something in me early on in the ministry because literally one thing, and especially early on, because I had too much Marine in me, and the Lord had to work on some of that. It's good to have fight. It is good to have fight. It is good to be willing to stand up for something. It is good to have a cause that you place at a higher premium than your own well-being. That is good. But sometimes we go about it in the wrong ways. And there have been plenty of times where I was ready to go in and fight, and the Lord said, "I got it." Now, if God could use us, I believe he would, to teach us a lesson, to increase our faith in him and for him to get the glory. But there are times that God will show up in such a way to bring glory to himself without you or me. And in this particular situation, this is what's going down in this current time. Jesus was going to get more glory by going to the cross than by avoiding the cross. And in Matthew 26, verse 52 through 54, we see, "Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" Verse 54, "But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be?" Scripture was being fulfilled by the events that were taking place. No matter how hard they were to watch for Peter and the other disciples, no matter how hard it was to accept, Scripture was being fulfilled. And Peter, although good intentions, although goodwill in mind, Peter in his flesh was being used to oppose what God was trying to do. And by the way, our flesh is opposite to God. The devil is opposite to God and uses our flesh to oppose God and oppose the things of God. If it were not so, why would Jesus tell Peter in another passage, "Get thee behind me, Satan"? Now, Peter was not Satan. He was a man of God. But Peter in his flesh was speaking fleshly things which were not the things of God. And the Son of God had to rebuke Satan through Peter. And I tell y'all something this morning. Scripture is being fulfilled here. And just because you see something that looks bad to you don't mean it's not a part of God's plan. Sometimes there are things that don't look good. There are things that don't look favorable. But it doesn't mean it's not all a part of God's plan. I try to encourage people with this, even in the area of politics. It may not be who you want in office, but they ain't one up in God. It might not be the one you like. They might vote for things that you don't like. They might try and pass things that you don't like, but they don't mean they're going to one-up God. Everything they do is according to His plan. And again, the world has to get bad. It has to. It has to get worse. And it will. The Bible talks about it. It will. It's going to happen. The world will get worse, which means we need wicked leaders. Unfortunately, we need them. Unfortunately, we need evil leaders. It has to happen. It wouldn't be good leaders that would usher in the coming of the Lord. Without bad leaders, Jesus may have never went to the cross. Who would have sentenced him? Who would have shouted him to the cross? God used it all according to his plan. Like I said on Wednesday night, they gather up in Washington, they pass, they legislate, they think they're one up in God, they're thinking they're doing something against him, but at the end of the day, God's probably laughing, I would say. I don't know. Because they're not getting by with any of it, for one. And it's not messing up his plan. So again, just because you see something that looks bad to you doesn't mean it's not a part of God's plan. And it also don't mean that God wants us to intervene when we see it. In this story, Scripture is being fulfilled. By Christ and through Christ, His Father was going to be glorified as His Son hung on the cross to die for you and me. And Peter, good intention and all, was trying to derail His and our pathway to redemption. Trying to defend Jesus from the capture which would ultimately lead to His crucifixion, where His perfect blood would be shed for you and I. You know, God's plan is bigger than ours. Sometimes we don't really know what we're messing with. Sometimes when we begin to interfere, sometimes there is a bigger picture. God sees the whole picture. We don't see the whole picture. We see little pieces. And God sees the whole picture. Meekness is the ability for God's people to be able to negotiate among others without causing friction. You know, Peter lacked in the meekness department, meaning this meekness. When we are yielding to the Spirit of God's leading. Now, Peter was outside of God's leading there. When we are unique to the Spirit of God's leading in our lives, we'll be able to get along with others. When you get along without causing friction, your personality becomes attractive to others. This is how you can bring more people to Christ. Meekness promotes peace among people. You know, how many more people could we reach if we did not fight them? And sometimes we got to be reminded that our problem is with the sin in the lives of people and not the people themselves. God loves them. He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for them. He wants to see them cleansed of all their sin as He has cleansed us. That's what He wants to see. And when we look at people, we should view them as people that God loves, that God sent His only begotten Son to die for. Yes, they do things that they ought not. Yes, they do things contrary to Scripture. Yes, they say things they shouldn't say. Yes, they go places and do things and wear things and things that they ought not, that's contrary to Scripture. But remember, our greatest fight with the people that are lost is over their soul. The Lord will take care of their sin. It's not up for us to go up to people and say, that sin, that sin, that sin, that sin, you need to stop doing every bit of that. Sometimes it's what we do and we end up fighting people rather than allowing the Lord to use us fighting for their soul. Because again, if they trust Christ and they begin to walk with Christ in sanctification, the Lord's going to clean them up. Peter was not yielding to Christ in his plan and will. Peter knew. Christ told him several times what must befall him and what the will of the Father was. That Jesus would die, but that he would rise again on the third day. Peter knew this. Peter, I think, in part, did not want to accept it as it was unfolding. I believe he loved Jesus. I believe he had good intentions, but in the flesh nonetheless. But Peter did learn something from this that we should also point out. See, we aren't just going to highlight where he got it wrong. We'll highlight the lessons that Peter learned. In 1 Peter 3:4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. In the sight of God, a meek and quiet spirit is a great price. It's an ornament. It's a decorative for you. You know, people will know that you're meek based off your life, based off your testimony. How did Peter learn meekness? Through a lack of meekness. He learned the hard way, like we do, fighting the wrong battles or fighting the right battles the wrong way. And when we live a life in the flesh, we oppose God and his working in the lost to draw them to himself. We oppose God in his workings with other believers in the process of sanctification. By being a stumbling block at times with our life, with our actions, or with our words. I've often said when you're dealing with people and counseling and people are coming to you with certain things in their life, help them get through where they are right now. People will let you know where they are. Here's what I'm struggling with right now. And help them through what they're dealing with right now. But sometimes what we do, we have the sins that we see in them. And those are the ones that we want to deal with. But people will reveal to you what the Lord's working on their heart about. And sometimes we get people sidetracked. We want them to get rid of what we want them to get rid of, instead of what the Lord wants them to get rid of. We got to be careful with that. Sometimes we've done that. The devil will make sure that you and I in our flesh goes right at a believer where it hurts them the most. And we'll fight many battles like Peter did. We'll cause much mess. It'll impact others in the wrong way. And God will have to come behind us like he did Peter and clean it up. And by the way, that is a hard thing to do. To come up behind somebody who hurt somebody else and try and bandage up their wounds. I've knocked on doors out on soul winning, and people tell me what happened to them in the past and what happened to them in church. And I know as soon as they start telling me that, there's really not much of a bridge there. There's not much of a bridge for me to cross. I can pray for them. I can tell them if they need something to let me know. I can leave a track with them. But some of the things that have happened to people in God's house, and so some of it in God's name, you can't even talk about. I don't have it memorized, but what's the verse about a brother offended? It's hard to win, or something like that, right? So, yeah. That's why we set out to contend for the faith and set out to stand for truth, but be spirit-led, because you don't want to offend people. You offend somebody. You hurt them real good. They're hard to win. They're hard to reach. whenever we get to it, and we're working on the theme of evangelism and soul winning, we're going to be dealing with some of that. Because you know why? Because you're going to go to doors where people have been offended. And you're going to see it firsthand. You're going to hear it firsthand. You're going to hear the stories that people share with you. Should they be in church? Sure. But you'll hear them. And you'll see firsthand what it's like to clean up after somebody who has offended people. And then it's also something for us to keep in mind that we don't want to offend people. Christ had to heal the damage to someone else that was inflicted upon them by one of his disciples, one of his followers. Because Peter fought a battle in his way. That was not his battle to fight to begin with. And how many times does the Lord have to come behind us to heal someone's wounds after we got done with them? Peter learned lessons about meekness. And he was able to record those later on in the books of 1 and 2 Peter, 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that seeketh you, that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Peter says, have a place for him that is set aside in your heart. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of hope that is in you. But how should we answer them? Not just in any way that we choose to. Not in a nasty way, perhaps, just like maybe the response you got from them. Peter was often the outspoken disciple. But Peter says here, with meekness and fear is how we should answer him. This sounds like growth to me in the life of Peter. Not only fighting the right battles, but fighting the right way. Not fighting the wrong battles the right way, or fighting the right battles the wrong way. In the book of Patton's Principles, General Patton very wisely said, never fight a battle that nothing is accomplished with a victory. So many times we're characterized by battles won, while the battles fought were of no real value. Some people just like to win. They enter themselves into competitions. They enter themselves into conflicts. They enter themselves into fightings and disputes simply because they like to win. And they want to win. There has to be more to battles than just winning. If a 10-year-old came up to me and tried to assault me and I won the battle, that's a shallow victory to go all over town and talk about it. You see, there's more to battles than just victory. What are the contents of the fight? Was it worth the fight? Was it fought in a way that's pleasing to God? What will be accomplished with the victory? If at the end of the day you just wanted to win, that's a shallow victory. If you stand to accomplish nothing outside of just winning, then walk away from the fight. Now, this is something you learn even in marriage. Early on in our marriage, we'd get in an argument over who had the keys last. Who had the key? We couldn't find the keys. Who had it? You had it. No. End up arguing about it. Getting mad at each other over who had the keys last, fighting over it. Who wins in that situation? Nobody wins. You fight over something stupid, both of you lose. Both lose. Nobody wins in that. That's a silly, petty fight that never should have happened. Both are losers. But we don't look at it that way if we're only set on victory. We're only set on winning. Walk away from it. In every battle and every conflict, there'll be casualties. See, Peter stepped out of his lane and into God's lane. And for a moment in time, a man lost his ear. But God intervened and healed the wounded servant of the high priest. I don't believe Peter was aiming for his ear. It's not like one of those where it's kind of like the attempted assassination attempt on President Trump. The guy wasn't aiming for his head or his ear. He was aiming for his head. He was aiming to kill him. Peter wasn't so skilled with the sword, I don't believe. He was a fisherman by trade. I don't believe he was so skilled with the sword that he's like, you know what? I can swing this in any which way direction, and I'm going to hit exactly what I'm aiming for when I do it. I think Peter was going for the kill, which was an emotional, irrational, fleshly decision. It was compulsive. It was knee-jerk. And you know, that's when we get in the most trouble sometimes, when it's compulsive. We take no thought. No thought at all. We've jumped in. No thought. It's just compulsive. It's just knee-jerk. And I'll be honest with you, that's when I get myself into the most trouble. If we just take even a few seconds to pause and think about it, it'll change our responses. Sometimes we something hits us just right, and we jump into the emotion and we respond. Now, by the way, with emotion, you become irrational. And ultimately, it's all flesh. And again, it can be compulsive. It's just knee-jerk. There's so much of that. That's one of the reasons I got off Facebook. There's so much of that on Facebook. Somebody will put out one side of an equation. You know it involves somebody else. You know it involves another party. What they said is directed at somebody else. A whole nother party there. And people will get on there and jump on the one side instead of knowing what the other side of the story is that the post is directed about. Just knee jerk. You ain't heard both sides. And by the way, that's foolish. It's a folly to do that. Sometimes we think we're spiritual when we're actually revealing the opposite. Sometimes it's just compulsive. It's just knee jerk. And don't get me wrong, it's a convincing story, but it's only one side of it. And by the way, everybody's story is always convincing, and it's always going to sound true. They rehearsed it over and over and over and over their side. So, of course, it's going to be convincing. I've had RU students come to me before that was very convincing. And I knew they were lying. I knew they were known for lying. And they come and they sit in my office and just about deceive me because they were convincing. Some of them have lived a lie and believed a lie for 20 years. And the lies that we fall for the most is by the ones that believe their lie. Because they're convincing. They really do believe it. It's not true, but they really do believe it. When we look down at verse 47, and while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude, with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Emphasis on a great multitude with swords and staves. Now, I think about Peter. What's Peter going to do? Can't kill all of them. He's not a trained soldier. He's a fisherman by trade. Then Jesus came along the shore one day and said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And Peter followed and God made him a fisher of men. So Peter in the flesh decides that he'll attempt to take a man's life rather than have a concern for his soul. You see, Peter at this moment was fleshly. Peter was emotional. Peter was irrational. Now, again, we recognize that ultimately he had a love for Christ. We do recognize that. We don't want to miss out on that. And sometimes we can begin in the right place, but end up in the wrong place. He attempted a fight that was not only wise, it was not only his fight to fight, but it was a fight that was impossible to win. And if we learn from Peter here, you'll face battles in this life that when you see them, it's too big for you. It's out of your hands. There's nothing you can do about it. And wisdom says, Lord, this is your fight. Here, if you need me, if there's something you need me to do, show that to me. Outside of that, I'm going to stay in my own lane. And then also, if you see a battle or hear of one, even if you think you can win it, you don't base your battles off of the probabilities of win or lose. You base them off whether or not they are right for you. Has God called you to them? There's many, many examples in the Bible where the probabilities were not in favor of God's people. But there was what was right. And that's what they committed to. Peter fought a fight that was not his to fight. God didn't call him to it. This was Peter's third mistake in a series of mistakes. You know, I can't find good intentions in his fourth mistake, which was denying Christ. Can't find good intentions in the fifth by running from Christ back into his former life. You see, his mistakes get worse. You could say there was good intentions in his first, second, and third. Can't say that necessarily for the fourth and fifth in this season in his life. Up until John 21. And I'm thankful for John 21. I'm thankful that for those who have been out on the run from God, out all night, no blessings from God as a result, God still showed up in the morning. And once God gets Peter's complete and undivided attention, which God had to do, then that's when he was able to do a work in Peter's heart. Then we see the blessings of God being poured out in his life once again. We know he penned 1st and 2nd Peter. We know he pastored the first church. We also know, according to church history, as I mentioned before, he was requested to be crucified upside down, not to be crucified in the same way as his Savior. And we'll look at all this coming up the coming days in more detail, but Peter failed at times. But Peter was far from a failure. See, a failure isn't someone who falls. A failure is someone who falls and stays there. That's a failure. Peter was no failure. He had falls. He made mistakes. The Bible even talks about how a good man falls 7 times. Falling don't make you a failure. But again, staying there does. You don't want to stay there. All failures stayed there. Now, because of this, because Peter is an example of someone who failed and had times that he failed in many ways, he was no failure because he kept getting back up with the Lord's help. And that's going to be us all throughout this life. We're going to have falls. All throughout this life, we're going to have falls. And some people, they fall and automatically they just say, I'm a failure, I'm a failure, I'm a failure. You're only a failure if you don't get back up. You're going to fall. It's going to happen. Get back up. With the Lord's help, get back up. Just keep fighting. Keep fighting. There's a lot of people who have given up on life and given up on sanctification, given up on thinking that they can ever be more conformed to the image of Christ than they are today. And they just give up. That's a mark of failure. When they give up. Don't give up. Keep fighting. Lord, as we come before you, thank you.